Good afternoon. We're back with another episode of the Sean Mo Hoots podcast with college basketball in full swing. Pleased to welcome Michael Weisenberg, who has been a frequent member of the podcast and who recently spoke a few weeks ago after he returned from the USA basketball camp about some of the next college basketball stars. But now we get to talk about the first 2 weeks of college basketball and our observations. So, Mikey, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, Sean. Thank you for having me once again, and very excited that the college basketball season has kicked off.
Yeah, so it's finally here. The games are in full swing. There's been a lot that has happened already. Not a whole lot of huge upsets, but definitely some. But I think the main story of college basketball has been the one-and-done freshman, how well Duke played against Kentucky, and you know how really the 2019 draft is shaping up. But before we get to that, I know you've been to some games in person, being able to watch Oregon, I think, twice, who I think is going to be a very competitive team with some interesting pieces. But one of those interesting pieces is Bol Bol, who could be one of the more unique prospects in the 2019 class and in college in general. So for Bol Bol, he is 7'2". He is Manute Bol's son and kind of played all over in high school, but has been one of the, you know, definitely been one of the freshmen that has gained the most attention so far. So talk to me a little bit about Bol Bol, Oregon, and just kind of your thoughts early on from some of those viewings you've had.
So, yeah, Oregon's played a couple times. I got to go to the game against Eastern Washington on Friday. There were a few scouts there checking Bol and Kenny Wooten out and possibly a few other players in the future. But, Bol, in his first game, kind of struggled shooting from the field, still finished with 12-12. In the second game, he was much better. He had some great flashes in both games. Like his ball skills at his size are just absolutely crazy. He can put the ball on the floor. He likes to, you know, kind of attack closeouts. He is very coordinated for his size. And then as far as, you know, shot blocking is concerned, rim protection, he's been good there. Against Eastern Washington, nobody on that team that started on that team was taller than 6'7". So he hasn't exactly been tested yet. That's probably going to happen tomorrow against Iowa. So we'll see how he responds to a bit better competition. But so far, like, just the offensive tools are there. You'd like to maybe see him look for others a bit more and have a bit better vision, because he is a good passer, but it just kind of seems like at times he gets in tunnel vision. And then something else to watch for him is he has a very low release, and he at times, like, you know, will bring the ball down. He's gotten blocked 3 times in the first 2 games. Not like anything that he can't fix, but something to monitor. And he hasn't necessarily, like, fallen in love with the mid-range shot or anything like that. He hasn't taken a ton of threes. He's only made one so far. But he has this, when he's guarded by smaller players, he kind of goes for, like, this fadeaway jump shot. And normally with a guy that size, you just would hope he wouldn't, but he has such great touch that it seems to be a shot that works for him. So, yeah, very interesting to see how he progresses. But so far, he's played with a bit more fire than I've seen him play with in the past, and very nice start for him.
Yeah, definitely put up good stat line and very interesting prospect. You know, 7'2" guy that, similar to his father, I know, hung out on the 3-point line a lot. So the fact that he's only taken three threes is, I'd say, pretty good, and it seems like he's doing his damage elsewhere. But how do you think he's going to do once, and I know it's going to be a little while for the Ducks, but once the competition level increases, do you think he's still going to be able to, you know, finish in the paint given his lack of strength, or do you think he's kind of I guess, revert back to his, you know, fadeaways, as you were mentioning, or three-point shot?
Well, I think he always – he'll be a threat to catch lobs. He is been pretty good at, like, finding ways to kind of get out in transition and run there. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because – so Oregon plays Iowa tomorrow in 2K Empire Classic. And then after that game, they either play UConn or Syracuse. And so I think he's getting like a couple of pretty nice tests there. I'm not sure. Is Luka Garza back for Iowa? Because, you know, he was
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he had a good freshman year last year. Yeah. Oh, he is. Yeah. So he'll, you know, get to go up against a nice big there. Syracuse, if they win that game, or if Syracuse, they end up playing Syracuse, you know, that's a pretty good one too. So yeah, he's going to go against at least a couple high major teams. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he responds to that, because early returns have been very positive, and I know a lot of people on draft Twitter are very, very high on Bol because of his perimeter skills at 7'2", 7'3".
What about staying with the Ducks? Kenny Wooten was a freshman last year that got a lot of attention, not really so much for any of his offensive abilities besides his kind of quick leaping and dunking, but more for his athleticism and shot blocking. He was one of the top shot blockers in the country. Hasn't seemed to have been at that same pace yet, but obviously very, very early. What were your initial impressions on him in year two?
He's gotten stronger. Very good. And still, like, one of the more explosive guys at his size in the country. Just explodes off the floor. And so, great athlete. He's probably going to be guarding the perimeter a bit more than he normally would have. Like, Oregon kind of plays like a matchup zone right now. Kind of to make up for Bol's lack of speed and, like, you know, if he needs to switch onto guards or anything like that. So, like, laterally, that's one area where Kenny Wooten is much better than Bol. And I just feel like if Kenny – so the Ducks also got a freshman named Francis Okoro, who is very tough and a good rebounder and, like, a center as well. So Kenny's going to be playing a lot of four, which will be interesting. Haven't seen like a ton of, like, you know, skill work, like, or like he has a nice looking form on his jump shot, like when he shoots in warmups. And, you know, I'm not the worst free throw shooter, like at least better than I thought he was going to be. So that'll be something I look for offensively. He's still a little lost there. And yeah, you just want to see him in movement on defense, and I think we'll get a good chance of seeing that this year, because he's not just going to be there like going for blocks. And he even I know, like, at least in the first game threw a charge, so he seems to at least have maybe a slightly better feel this year. And I'm guessing with Bol being there, he won't have to necessarily do as much as far as post-ups or anything like that. But yeah, so far, like, we haven't seen a ton of what he can do on the offensive end. So I guess that'll be something to watch as the season progresses, but still an amazing athlete at his size. And I'm guessing on the NBA draft radar as well.
So is this a year that Oregon can get back to winning the Pac-12?
It looks like with the competition, they certainly have a chance. Like, you know, I don't know if there's any real, like, marquee team there right now. The first game I went to, I watched Washington, and a lot of people had Washington either like 2 or 3. And I don't think Oregon matches up very poorly with them. I think Oregon certainly has a chance. I know UCLA's definitely, like, you know, has those two marquee guys returning, and then have some new pieces that are pretty intriguing. But yeah, I would think Oregon is absolutely in the thick of things.
Well, speaking of Washington, I forgot you watched them play. And as you mentioned, they're predicted to be one of the top teams in the conference. They got whooped in their second game by Auburn. But did anybody stand out to you on that team that is a pretty junior and senior-laden team?
Yeah, definitely. The junior and senior-laden. As far as standouts, there are three guys I can kind of point to as and not two of them I think have a chance at the NBA. One of them I'm guessing will probably end up playing pro basketball somewhere else. But the first guy that really stood out in the Western Kentucky game that I got to go to, which was their season opener, was Matisse Thybulle. And Matisse stands out because they do play like, you know, the Mike Hopkins, Syracuse, like zone and everything like that. And Matisse is kind of like the quarterback of the defense. He was either one of the nation's leaders in steals if he didn't lead the nation in steals. But he, so he was fantastic. Just kind of like everywhere on defense, he moves so well, like he's crazy laterally, really good, like awareness, and he had six blocks in the game. And I would say like probably four of them were on the perimeter. But yeah, like really quick hands too. It just seems like on offense, for whatever reason, he just kind of freezes up. Like he missed a dunk and then he missed a bunch of his shots. He had one like gimme layup near the hoop that he didn't get also. He ended up finishing 3 for 10 on the game, and it's kind of been like the same for their next three games. He's 3 of 7, 3 of 8. You just think, because he's a really good athlete too, you'd like to see him do more there, but I'm guessing he gets drafted or at least gets like a good chance to get in training camp or make a roster because of his defense. And you just kind of hope that, like, you know, he can maybe eventually hit the three at a good enough rate to maybe give you something there. Their best offensive player was Jalen Noel. And he's just can kind of score from all three levels. He's a good passer. I'm pretty sure on that game he had like 17 points and here I'm looking it up, 17 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. He was only 1 of 3 from three, but I've always felt like his jump shot's pretty workable. So he should be very key for them if they're going to, you know, be one of the top teams in the Pac-12. Was really like the one guy on their team who could kind of create his own shot. And then just in terms of like raw efficiency, the last guy I'll bring up is Noah Dickerson. He just has been a really solid college player for them. And he's a pretty big body. And it was funny because we were talking to him before the game and he was just like, we were saying it was going to be a challenge for them. And he just kind of said, I really hope not. And he unfortunately got into foul trouble in the first half, but in the second half, like, they really weren't much of a challenge for him. He can kind of just assert his will below the rim, score. But he'll have a really strong year for them, and he's a senior. He's been pretty important for them the last few years, and is a tough guard for most big men in the Pac-12 and outside the Pac-12. So, yeah, just those are the three guys who stood out to me on Washington. And then they have a lot of other wings, but a lot of uncertainty there. It should be a tough defensive team. And Auburn obviously must have a squad if they really, you know, got the better of them.
Well, the game you watched, they played Western Kentucky, and not to spend too much time on a Conference USA team, but they do have Charles Bassey, mm-hmm. another hyped-up freshman that I think for the majority of his high school career was kind of ranked in the top five, and now, you know, probably not a projected lottery pick, but I think definitely a first first rounder, at least for the mock draft. So what were your thoughts on Bassey?
Always a strong rebounder. So, that, you know, he definitely did that. He had some good moments defensively. He had a couple blocks, a couple steals. He's a little, like, you know, he moves a little mechanically. He doesn't necessarily, like, you know, when we first saw, like, did you ever watch the first ever, like, highlight videotape they have of Charles Bassey, where he looked, like, incredible and was, like, you know, just bringing the ball
when
up,
he was dominating everything the like Dinos that. Pangos camps?
Yeah. Dominating Pangos, yeah. So
when he was 14, going on 18, probably.
One of their grad assistants kind of compared him to like a Tristan Thompson. Like, or I don't know if he compared him, but he at least hopes he has that role. And that seems to be like, you know, what he would do strongest, kind of being closer to the basket. He didn't really show anything like as a jump shooter or anything like that. And, you know, his shot is a little slow and mechanical too. But
very mechanical.
Yeah, he's a physical presence and was very strong, and he actually like helped them get the early lead, but he got into a bit of foul trouble, and he still finished with like a double-double, and I'm guessing once Conference USA comes, like, he should be an absolute monster. But yeah, he was of course a huge get for Western Kentucky. And, absolutely a guy to watch this season, and more than likely, like, a first-round pick.
Well, first-round picks and people that have been flying up the radar, Kevin Porter Jr. From USC. I know he's a guy up from the Pacific Northwest that you got to see at the Hoop Summit. He was actually going against the Hoop Summit team. So talk to me a little bit about what you had seen from him before USC, and then I've been able to see him twice, so we can kind of talk about him a little bit before going to the Vanderbilt guys.
So I got to see him even before Hoop Summit, and the game I saw him, to me looked like a McDonald's All-American level guy. He could score from all three levels, super athletic, very strong. Of course, like, you know, his ability to create space and everything there, and his ability as a ball handler as well. And then at the Hoop Summit, the USA Select team is usually a team comprised of some high school players and college players around the area who play against the USA team for the Hoop Summit. And head coach Marshall Cho described it this year as too many cooks, but they had a problem with distribution, let's say. You know, they weren't really moving the ball around, a lot of guys kind of going for their own thing, but the best guy going for their own thing was Kevin Porter. And so he was just kind of showing what he had in his bag. He had a couple really nice above the rim finishes. His usual, you know, shiftiness as a ball handler and ability to create space there. So, he looked good in front of a bunch of NBA scouts. And then, it seems like, you know, this summer he got the hype building, as you said, with, the stuff he did in the Drew League, and, his first two college games, he's looking good. So what did you see in, the first two games, Sean?
The first two games, it was very easy to see why he did well in the Drew League, which for those that don't know, one of the more well-known, I'd say, summer league kind of streetball type leagues. And given how his game is made up, you know, he's a great one-on-one scorer. And his first game, they're playing Robert Morris, which is actually for a spread that was 19 points. It was around tied at the half. And then it wasn't until the last 5 minutes that USC pulled away. But Kevin Porter came in off the bench and right away just started scoring. Had a really nice kind of Euro step down the lane, showcased what you were talking about, his athleticism, and he is extremely explosive off 2 feet. Really good size at 6'6", and strength and good length as well. I think the the thing that stood out most was his left to right crossover, which is definitely his go-to move. And one, it's extremely, extremely quick, and it gives him space for him to shoot a jump shot. And I wouldn't call him a pure jump shooter, but would call him more of a shot maker. And he kind of showcased that both against Robert Morris, where he went, came off the bench and went 6 of 7 in 15 minutes. So didn't even really play that much, but shot the lights out in the time that he was in. And then did something similar in really not, 23 minutes against Vanderbilt, which had its own potential lottery and one and done freshman. But he came off the bench and going from really zero NBA scouts the first game against Robert Morris to a ton of scouts and GMs against Vanderbilt. And he certainly, especially in the first half, gained everybody's attention with a few thunderous dunks, three-pointers, the left-to-right crossover, left-to-right crossover with a step back. So his offensive ability is really, really impressive. And I think definitely caught a lot of the highlights and highlight shows and had people talking. I think, looking at just outside of his highlights, the first game, I don't know if it was a lack of interest, but just seemed very carefree on the court. Didn't really seem to have a big idea of kind of what was going on offensively, at least half court sets, besides when he got the ball and could look to score. Same defensively, and that came out more so against Vanderbilt, a much better team. He fouled out in 23 minutes, and there's one possession in particular. He was guarding Joe Toy, kind of a powerful athletic senior for Vanderbilt, and Joe Toy just kind of walked him down a few feet to the foul line extended and just very simply used a big man screen and just popped out for a wide open three that he made. And it wasn't even a hard screen, and Porter was just, not paying attention and extremely lost. So there's a lot of highlights and a lot of potential on the offensive end, but right now still, and obviously it's early, it's only two games in, but the tendency for some careless turnovers and not really much of an idea what's going on defensively.
Highlights are everything, Sean. So, the rest of what you said doesn't really apply there. No, I'm just kidding, man. I think that's very good insight. And, it's definitely something I'll be watching with Kevin Porter the rest of the season as well.
Yeah, but, he'll definitely be fun to watch. And USC is going to be an interesting team just given what they lost last year. And it was kind of weird, having gone to a majority of their home games over really my 3 years in LA of going to the game against Robert Morris, and you're not seeing Jordan McLaughlin, you're not seeing Elijah Stewart, Chimezie Metu, Benny Boatwright's still been hurt, so he hasn't been playing. So it was a very different team. What's that?
Benny played tonight.
Oh, well, I guess he made his return against Stetson, which is a game I did not attend, but a very interesting
crucial things there.
with Derek Thornton, the old starting Duke point guard, Jonah Matthews, the younger brother of Jordan Matthews from Gonzaga, and then you have Shaquan Aaron, who's been around forever, and Nick Rokosevic from another kind of Chicago guy. So it'll be interesting to see how they do once Benny kind of gets back in the playing fold. But they went up against Vanderbilt, and it was a pretty competitive game. A game they lost after last year, they beat Vanderbilt on the road in a competitive game. But two Vanderbilt players were kind of the ones that all the scouts and a lot of the fans came to watch. One is Darius Garland, 6'2 point guard, who I think a lot of people now can agree that, at least right now, is a top kind of freshman point guard. And then you had Simi Chitu, who's listed at 6'10", but probably a 6'8", 6'9", kind of power forward playing. And both played really well against USC. Garland was hitting some very deep threes. He scored 19 points and had 5 rebounds, although really only 1 assist and 6 turnovers, so definitely had a lot of turnovers. And Simi Chitu had 14 points but 15 rebounds and was kind of a beast down low. I know you've seen both of those guys before, but what are kind of your takes on both Garland, as he will definitely get a lot of attention this year in the SEC and kind of potentially being a lottery pick, as well as Simi?
Well, the new Trae Young, obviously he had a good game, but he's not the passer that Trae Young. Everybody wanted a new Trae Young because, you know, Trae Young was so much fun last year, and Darius Garland kind of got that title. I think he could probably, like, from an efficiency standpoint, probably be an even better shooter than Trae Young. Probably has maybe more weapons than Trae Young did, but yeah, like, I think what made Trae Young as fun as he was he was such a great passer too, and, you know, could just see these plays, and you're still not really sure Garland is that kind of level of, like, you know, point guard per se. But yeah, he had a good game. And like, how do you feel he's developed over these years? Because I know you saw him, like, at a very young age. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm wondering. Like, you were kind of marveling at how much bigger he's gotten.
Yeah, and I went back and I first saw him. I guess he had just finished his freshman. Well, I guess I saw him as a freshman at the USA developmental camp, and then really saw him a lot more on the USA U16 tryouts, which I think this is back in, you know, 2014, 2015. And at the time, you know, he got cut from the 16 team and 17 team, so he never made either one of the USA teams. You know, granted, there's a lot of point guards, and you know, each time I thought he did really well, but didn't do well enough to make the team. But what you saw there, yeah, especially early on, was one of this extremely small guy. I mean, I know he's listed at 6'2 with shoes on, and I think now I would say he probably is a legit 6'2 with shoes on. But going back then, I think as a freshman, he was listed at 6'1, 6'2, 135, and he was maybe 5'10, but already known as kind of a prolific scorer. And the things you saw back then was, one, he was extremely quick. Definitely, I would say, kind of the quickest guy with the ball in his hands, kind of that quick first step. Really quick release. And even back then, I mean, he was, you know, could shoot 5-7 feet behind the arc and just, you know, swish every time. So you could always see his deep range and his quickness. And, you know, even though he didn't make the teams, he was always a guy I enjoyed watching. And I think, to your point, you know, in terms of his passing ability or playmaking ability, is definitely not a Trae Young. And, you know, it's probably average at best, but I think he has a really good ball handler and a really good scorer. So instead of being more of a shooting guard that's trying to play point, you know, he is a point guard that can just really score. And I think he's added some strength. So even though he's still kind of a small guy, definitely, I'd say, looked more the part than I had seen him. And, you know, he was shooting 5, 6, 7 feet behind the arc, and he was looking pretty well, getting, you know, utilizing the pick and roll and getting into the paint and hit a floater to start. So I really like him. I mean, I like his quickness, his shooting ability. That'll translate, you know, pretty quickly. I'll just be kind of cutting down those turnovers and seeing if he can lead a team. But you know, I'm a big Garland fan, and I always thought he was one of the best guards at those camps. So kind of excited to see him doing well, and was excited to see him play this past weekend.
That's awesome, man. I thought at Hoop Summit he was, like, definitely the best point guard. I see here, I'm just looking at Hoop Math. I know one of the things that has been brought up about Garland is his ability to finish near the basket. And, you know, again, like, he's gotten bigger, which is a really good sign, but that's going to be something to kind of watch as well, because, you know, the other thing with Trae Young was he had, like, a great free throw rate and was, like, very crafty finisher around the hoop, and very good at changing speeds. So, yeah, like, is that an aspect of Garland's game that, you know, you're impressed by now, like his ability to kind of change speeds and, you know, create lanes for himself? Or is that something you feel he needs to work on?
I was impressed by his ability to use the pick and roll and kind of slow the game down and get into the paint. I mean, looking back at Trae Young, the big knock on him coming into college was, you know, here's this guy that can shoot the lights out. He was one of the top UIBL scorers year after year, but, you know, how quick is he? And I remember watching him against USC at the Staples Center, and you got to see, one, he had a pretty good first step, and he could get the defender on his hip really quickly. And once he had him on the hip, he wouldn't let him back in the play, and he could draw fouls from behind. And as you said, he was a crafty mm-hmm. finisher with the floater, or just knowing how to, you know, kind of pick his spots and get fouled and get to the line. Where Garland, you know, I'd say not at that ability, but I did like the floater he had. And I think naturally has probably a quicker first step, but is probably not as you said, crafty or maybe smart in his ability compared to Trae Young. But I think one that with just kind of the natural athleticism and shooting ability should be able to, you know, pick up on some of those aspects.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah.
You know, I only saw Simi really that game, and you got to watch him a lot in high school, and, you know, really strong, athletic, still, you know, pretty raw. Definitely didn't shoot the ball well from the free throw line, but was kind of a beast, you know, really a beast down low. And, you know, there's several plays where he kind of got the rebound and brought the ball up the court. You know, I think under pressure, you know, you probably want him to give the ball up, but still being able to handle the ball a little bit at that size was impressive. But you've seen him a lot more than I have. So what are your kind of thoughts on him?
First off, I want to say that I have data on Simi Shifu that makes him a legitimate 6'9", Mr. Moran. So,
well, I'm looking at Kemp Pop, and I'm at 6'10".
I'm sticking by at least 6'9", Simi Shifu. I thought he looked good. Like, you know, he's coming off a injury from last year. He pretty much missed almost his entire senior season and wasn't able to play in the Hoop Summit. But, yeah, I got to see Simi a few times when I was still living in Toronto. And I also got to see him at Adidas Nations and at EYBL. He was always, like, a really good passer for his size, so that really helps. So, like, you know, good feel for the game, tough rebounder, and his jump shot is still very streaky, but, like, he has, like, the possibility of being able to draw out defenders a little bit. Most of his finishes in this game were around the hoop, but, yeah, like, he looks very strong. I thought he moved pretty well considering everything. Like, you know, he's a bit robotic, but still, like, I thought an impressive showing from him. 8 offensive rebounds, so, you know, that was obviously big for Vandy. And it seems like he was doing some things to help them win this basketball game. So what were your thoughts on how Simi played overall?
I mean, overall pretty good. USC didn't really have an answer for him at the beginning when he was kind of dominating on the boards, and he got out to a pretty good start. And, you know, in terms of the next level, I think the size and athleticism is there. And can he rim run? Yes. I think, you know, I didn't love him on the next level yet, but looking forward to getting to watch him some more. But I think that's, you know, at least in the first week, it's been fun getting to watch some of those guys, and for you getting to watch the Oregon and Washington. But kind of moving out of the Pac-12, and before getting to, you know, all the very hyped freshmen, some of the guys or teams that you have enjoyed watching or that you are looking forward to watch going forward?
You're just talking about, like, teams that I'm trying to check out?
Yeah, or any freshmen that you're excited to watch that maybe aren't in that, you know, top 5, top 10 discussion.
Got you. All right. Well, I was discussing earlier with you, Io Desunmu is a guy that has had a really nice start at Illinois, and they play at the Maui Invitational this week. So I'm looking forward to watching him play in a few games. It seems like, you know, more of a scorer than like a true point as well. Shot very well from three, like in their first couple games, and seems to be scoring well. Always been like kind of very shifty and able to, you know, get a separation off the dribble as well. So yeah, he's a guy that, I'm looking forward to watching. And, yeah, anybody that you, are looking at, closely over the next little while?
Well, you mentioned the Mali Invitational, and that's a fantastic event. One I was able to go to a few years ago when UNC won it, but, this year, you know, a lot of people that were at the game, at the USC Vanderbilt game, there's going to be a large NBA contingent making their way over to Maui before Thanksgiving. And I think it's a pretty loaded field, maybe not from a team competitive standpoint, but definitely from a talent standpoint of Arizona. And Brandon Williams is a guy that I'm looking forward to seeing. And, you know, along with the obvious Duke. So I think most people are expecting kind of a Duke-Gonzaga final. But then you have, as you mentioned, Illinois, Iowa State, who I'm kind of high on. They have a lot of wings and talent. And then San Diego State with McDaniels. And then Auburn, who, as we talked about, kind of crushed Washington early on. So it'll be a lot of talent out there. In terms of freshmen, I think, you know, Brandon Williams is definitely one guy that I'm looking forward to watching. I only got to see him a little bit in high school last year, but a really quick first step. And that was when he had decommitted from Arizona. And I remember Mark Few was at the game. And then obviously he committed back to Arizona, but,
Oregon was looking at him pretty hard as well.
Oh yeah. Yep. I do remember that. But I would say, stepping out of the freshman, two guys that I'm looking at, one is Brandon Clark from Gonzaga. He is, once again, Gonzaga, known for getting very, very strong transfers. He played 2 years at San Jose State and sat out last year before starting this year in Gonzaga. And I watched some of the Texas Southern game and was extremely impressed with him. I mean, I think Gonzaga is obviously very talented. Tilly and Roy Hachimura gained all the preseason interest. And then you have Zach Norvell, the sharpshooter from Chicago, and then Josh Perkins, who has been there for 5 years. And then Petrusev, who 6'11", international guy that did well at the Basketball Without Borders that we talked about last February. But this is a guy, Brandon Clark, that I don't really think Gonzaga has had a player like him in a while, just given his athleticism and slashing ability. So I'm really interested to see how they do with him. And he'll definitely get tested going against, you know, really high competition at Maui, as well as, you know, some late games in December, Washington, Tennessee, North Carolina. They play those three games in a row. And then one other team and player, I know we talked about him a lot last year, another kind of favorite is Tremont Waters of LSU, as well as LSU. And I think to argue, you know, a question that could be asked of, you know, who paid more for, was it Western Kentucky for Charles Bassey or LSU for some of the guys they have? Because in addition to Waters, they have Naz Reid, who has really, you know, had kind of a bad rep at times in high school, but it has played very well early on. Emmett Williams, who I know you guys were looking at, and that guy is a absolutely ferocious rebounder, one that plays extremely hard, but you know, is kind of even scary on the court. And then you have Javonte Smart, Darius Days coming off the bench, and then Skylar Mays. So you know, pretty talented young team that Will Wade has kind of pieced together through various means. So those are just some of the guys and teams that I'm looking forward to watching over the next few weeks.
Very nice. Yeah, I totally agree that LSU is a team that is probably going to be one that I'm tuning into quite a bit. Like, their talent is fantastic. It'll just be interesting to see how they play together once they face better competition. And also, like, kind of interesting that, like, a couple of their games have been, like, a little close so far. And certainly, like, you know, high volume scoring by both teams in that game. So, yeah, like, they're going to be able to put it in the bucket, but I kind of want to see how they defend and just, you know, who ends up being the guy for that team, because right now it looks like Naz Reid is kind of taking the helm as their top scorer. And last year it was definitely Tremont Waters had a heavy hand on that team. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that team's chemistry moves along as the season progresses.
Well, I guess staying on the Maui topic, you know, right now, looking at really any mock draft, there's three freshmen and, you know, what order they go in. But I think, you know, preseason, it was RJ Barrett, Zion and Reddish is kind of 1, 2, 3. And now, you know, Zion has kind of jumped into a potential number one pick, and Cameron Reddish has been shooting the lights out from three, but kind of a safe number three games in. Granted, they had their blowout against Kentucky and then haven't really played, have been playing kind of the sisters of the poor since then. But, you know, should be, you know, going to Maui should be decent. But, you know, you have these three freshmen leading the team, getting all the publicity, and they've been pretty out of the world so far. So what are your thoughts on them, and who are your kind of top three at this point?
So I have watched all three Duke games so far. The first game, of course, was like, you know, wow. Like, all three of them just looked fantastic. There was really nothing Kentucky could really do to slow them down, especially since they were all making shots with, like, a really solid clip. Like, Zion's first basket was a three-pointer. Like, you know, you weren't exactly expecting that right out of the gate. And then, you know, RJ was shooting a little better than he normally would. Cam, you know, once he gets his shot going, he's really, really tough to guard. But yeah, the guy who I've been most impressed with through the three games has been Zion. And just his efficiency. The thing that I always felt like with him was, not only can he, like, get his own shot and then, you know, just kind of elevate above the defense, like, effortlessly, but he is just, like, his touch is just, it's fantastic. Like, it's amazing how he can be going full speed and still put up, like, you know, this soft shot. And that's the thing that I think is going to carry him a very long way. I think he has the best chance of being a star out of all of them. He has a fantastic feel for the game. Very good passer. And then, you know, when you add his handle, and I believe in his lateral quickness. So I believe in him as potentially as a defender and getting better. So I'm not a person who's like, oh, you have to play him at the five. Oh, you have to play him at the four. Like, ideally he'd be a four. But yeah, like, I think there's more versatility to him than, like, you know, meets the eye. And, yeah, just with that combination, I know your concern with RJ Barrett has always been, like, you know, that top flight athleticism, and that's what you have with Zion. Plus, RJ may be a better shooter, but I don't know if he's, like, astronomically better. And so, you know, RJ is certainly more confident at this point. And, like that's the thing I love about RJ is, like, you know, he is a killer. He's super competitive, very good footwork, and, you know, can kind of overpower people to the basket. He had that one play against when he was, like, being guarded really well by Keldon Johnson, where he just, you know, still kind of managed to get through him. RJ is going to get to the free throw line a ton. But I feel like Zion has absolutely been the star. He's, like, it's hard to take your eyes off of him. And it'll be really interesting to see if he keeps this level of efficiency and, like, you know, what it's going to look like when they play, like, you know, the higher level competition beyond just Kentucky. But, like, playing a high level team like Kentucky, Zion getting 28 points in 23 minutes. Some of those rebounds he got were just absurd. Like, his ability to just explode from like a standstill is incredible. So yeah, he's been my number one guy. I would go RJ number two, and then I feel like Cam certainly, like, you know, kind of sky's the limit for him. But I'm just still not certain he's going to get to that level. He makes things look so easy though, and he does have the best shot out of all of them. And then, you know, from like a physical attribute standpoint, like, you know, he's got a longer wingspan than both of them. He's got a higher standing reach. Like, you know, the things that NBA people love, Cam definitely has them. It's just going to be that, you know, kind of level of, you know, competition and that drive that I think is kind of favors RJ and Zion. And then today, like, you know, for instance, I and this happened like after Kentucky, but like it seems like Cam's kind of had trouble finishing near the hoop. He's not necessarily like the most explosive athlete either. He makes things look easy, and he's a good athlete, but yeah, it seems like inside the three-point line, he hasn't been great yet. Certainly can get there. He's a very good ball handler and passer as well. And that's what makes them such a ridiculously dangerous team, is that, like, you know, they have those four guys when you add Trey Jones, who all are like great court vision and very willing passers, and then, you know, moving without the ball as well. So yeah, Cam's looked very good. He sat out in the second half today. I guess there was an apparent, like, he was kind of walking with a limp. I think it was actually after diving for a loose ball. So, like, you know, it was a hustle play that kind of got him this hopefully minor injury. But yeah, those three guys are just, to me, the top three talents that I had seen out of the players in this class. And so far, they're certainly living up to the billing.
Yeah, they've definitely been living up to the billing, especially Zion, who, you know, coming into college was probably one of the more hyped players, especially given the social media world and some of the dunks that he's done. And, you know, I think in one part it has been surprising with how he's done it, but on the other hand, you know, not so much. I think I remember the first time I saw him, and at this point in time, he had a really good AU season heading into his junior year and was at Adidas Nations. And I've been hearing about Zion from a lot of people back East, and you look at him, and at the time he was kind of this, you know, this pudgy 6'5" guy. And you're like, you know, really this guy. And then he gets in the game and just absolutely explodes off of 2 feet around the basket and is attacking. And at the end of the game, he shot 10 for 12, and that's pretty similar to what he's done now. You know, I think, as you mentioned, the big thing is the three-pointer, and you know, he hit that one against Kentucky, and then the kind of step back jump shot. Can he continue to at least be respectable, not, you know, 40%, but 30-35-ish? Because right now he's so explosive. He's strong enough to guard, you know, bigger players. He can, you know, block shots with his leaping ability, grab the rebound, and just push the ball up the court. So he's been kind of a monster to watch. And as you said, we'll be interested to see once he starts going against better talent. But he's kind of been doing this, you know, over the last 3 to 4 years against whatever talent comes his way. And now that he's, you know, gotten that much stronger and is really focused, is really a freak, and one that'll be fun to watch. RJ Barrett, you mentioned, I think, you know, shooting has kind of struggled, but to me, my knock on him was his athleticism, and it seemed in high school he had to play kind of bully ball to get to the rim and get to the free throw line a lot, but it definitely looks stronger and a little quicker. So I think the slashing ability and kind of, you know, shot making prowess he has will definitely be, you know, be something to watch down the road. And then Cam Reddish, who I'd say has been my favorite of the three ever since, similar to Darius Garland, he got cut as coming out of his freshman year at the U16, and then I think the U17 he probably would have made it, but he got hurt. But at that time he was, I think, 6'4", 6'5", so he's really, really sprouted up. And, you know, just his shooting ability was something that caught my eye initially, just kind of how pure it was. And I know there's a lot of knocks on how hard he played. So, you know, right now he's shooting 44% from the 3-point line, and really has deep range, but can he get to the rim? Can he score off the dribble? I know he played point guard in high school, which naturally wasn't the best fit, but for kind of development, definitely will help out down the road. But can he get to the rim? Can he kind of turn the corner? Will be a thing to see. So right now, you know, they've done great, but I'll be looking forward to seeing the Maui Invitational next week and how they do there. So, you know, I guess ending on that note, just wanted to thank you again for coming
on. One second.
Oh, no. All right, go ahead.
I need your rank.
My top three.
Between those three guys, or if you have somebody else, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, out of those three guys, in terms of likability, I'm going to go Cam, Zion, RJ for me. In terms of drafting, I'm going to have Cam at three, and then I'd still probably go with RJ now. Even though I kind of hate saying that, but I do have him three. You know, the other guys, you know, I'm pretty high on Naz Little, who's coming off the bench for UNC, but I'd say not as extremely, you know, not as number two or number one right now, but I think coming off the bench and, you know, definitely playing a different role. So I think it'll be very interesting to see how the year shakes out and who starts to rise and who starts to fall, especially when conference play begins. But I'd say that's my answer for now without giving a strong guaranteed statement on it.
I'm good with that. Yeah. I at least need, like, you know, a rough draft of what the ranking would be.
Well, there it is.
Providing that, Sean.
There it is. But yeah, look, you know, had a fun time watching Porter and Garland, and looking forward to seeing some more games in person as well as on TV, and looking forward to, I'm sure we'll be having you on countless times to chat over the next few weeks and months. So thanks again for coming on, and thank you for the observations and insights you provided.
I'm looking forward to it, and always appreciate being a guest on the Sean Mohoops podcast.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And that wraps up another edition of the podcast. And as we go into week two, look for another episode appearing next week as we head into the Thanksgiving timeframe. So thank you. Thank you to everyone who listened.